from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I got a great idea.
Yeah?
Give her a bouncy ball and let her bring it into the studio. What could go wrong?
Do it.
It's already been done.
You can blame your Kansas City Royals for that. I said, of all the swag they had to bring to all of the crazy ADHD broadcast people, they bring me a basket with a bouncy ball in it. You would think I was 5 years old.
First thing she did when we came in the studio at 2 o'clock.
Oh, my.
Was she goes, stand over there. So I'm standing over here by my desk. And she's over there by hers. And she throws the bouncy ball up against the window here and goes, look, it's window dodgeball. As I'm running from a ball that's bouncing all over the room.
As if there's nothing in that room that could break.
And then Jamie Monticelli's in here. And, you know, she had had a long day. They were on the air all day. The day after a holiday is always meh. And she's in here and she just goes, yeah, that's my cue to leave. She just grabs her stuff and walks out of the
I'm going to get out of here before something bad
She's
happens.
Like, things are flying. I'm leaving.
A bouncy ball? Like a
no,
big
here,
no, it's
ball?
Like a handball. Like if you've ever played handball.
Let me show him.
Okay, but it's like the noise it makes. It makes me so happy.
Oh, I thought it was like a chair replacement.
No.
No, it's basically
that's going
a super
in my
bounce.
Pocket for the
it's
next
a super
2 hours.
It's a super bounce.
Yes. Do
keep
not taunt,
right,
happy
keep,
fun ball.
Keep it right here in my sweatshirt pocket.
Do not
keep it
throw
nice and warm
in the studio.
That's what
please.
I said.
Not.
Dan, she was hurling it at the window with all of her might.
Yes.
That's double-paned bulletproof glass. I think a bouncy ball's fine.
We are not going to play a game of butts up in the studio.
Butts up.
Middle school.
Okay.
Don't give it back to her. What are you doing?
I don't know where you went to middle school,
yeah.
But...
You played in a game called Butts Up?
Yes, we had a big, giant brick wall on the side of one of the buildings.
Oh, yeah.
And you would take a tennis ball, and you would throw it against the wall, and if you caught it or if somebody caught it, that was fine. If you missed it, you would have to run up to the wall and touch it before somebody else threw the ball to hit the wall. And if that didn't happen, then you would have
skip,
to stand
who cares
there.
About the rules? Where does the butt come from?
You would stand there, hands against the wall, butt out, and then they would try to bean you with the tennis ball.
Where did you grow up that was an acceptable form of recreation?
Oh, it was an amazing game.
I've heard of
South
the game.
Carolina.
Okay.
Dan, you're not alone.
Thank you.
Not proud to admit it.
I've never even heard of it. I would have played it. It sounds fun.
Oh, it's a lot of fun.
I have a run, do not walk, because football season is here. And Sam, I know you don't have Netflix, but we're going to have to work something out here. I told Scott over the weekend, there is a new, I think it's a 30 for 30. All of those on Netflix are so good. About Michigan football, and it's called The Sign Stealer.
Mm-hmm. I almost clicked on that this weekend.
Yes! Do you remember that kid? So it's this scandal, which now I have much more understanding what you're allowed to do in football when you're looking at what the other guys are signaling and what you're not allowed to do in football when you're looking at the other guy's signaling.
Putting a guy in the other guy team's gear and sticking him on the sideline is not within the rules
not
of what
acceptable.
You're allowed
that
to
is
do.
Yeah.
But
yes.
This kid, you guys, was a naval officer from the Naval Academy, like one of the smartest of the smartest of the smart kids. And he grew up around age 2 or 3 in a family that were crazy Michigan fans. And by age 6 or 7, he was verbalizing that when I grow up, I want to be a coach at Michigan. His whole life was working toward that goal. Even in college, he went to work for Navy, the football team, and said, the only reason I'm doing this is because eventually I want to coach for Michigan. And so this graduates into, because of his super smart Naval Academy brain, him coming up with spreadsheets and a mechanism to keep track of all the different signs. And there's thousands of signs on the sidelines where coaches are trying to communicate things with the players. He was just smarter than everybody else at coming up with a system to log and decipher signs.
Was he filming the opponent's games?
Okay, so that's legal to study those after a game. That is legal, and all the teams do it, NFL and college. What is illegal is when you plant someone,
as was allegedly happening for the last few years involving the University of Michigan, where there were multiple people who were on the payroll of the University of Michigan who were spotted in gear of the other team on their sidelines.
Now, correct. They deny Spies. That. I believe he denies that it was just more, I worked harder than everybody else to decipher the signs. And Scott and I were talking about this during a break. I said, this is why they need to just do the talkie-talkie thing and the helmet thing. Why are we still like it's 1823 doing signaling
now
from the sidelines?
All of the major universities this year are doing.
Yeah, I thought they did. They finally got the helmet.
That is correct. And it mutes 15 seconds before the play, so they can't call an audible based on how the defense is lined up. I'm sure it's very similar in the NFL.
Okay.
But if you are a D1 school that can afford it, you now have the chat in your helmet.
Otherwise, you've got three guys on the sidelines with a
giant poster board
with four different pictures on each one, and you have to guess which one's really calling in the play.
I'm telling you, it's called Sign Stealer. It is phenomenal.
Is it just one episode?
It's just one.
It's on Netflix because I almost clicked on it last night.
His parents talk. He talks. I'm pretty sure Michigan does not talk.
Sam, who won the college football championship last year?
Well, you know, there was this weird thing where the people who were accused of cheating for the entire season happened to go all the way and win.
It was Michigan, wasn't it?
Maybe there was a team. There's a similar story back in the MLB a couple years ago where they were smacking the side banging. Of a trash can.
That was the Houston Astros. Mm-hmm.
They happened to win, too.
I will tell you the one thing about sign stealing, and I'm not giving anything away. You will like this kid, and you're almost rooting for this kid. I kept saying out loud, just because he was smarter than everyone else in working harder than everyone else to figure out the signs, why does that make him a villain here?
Well, it's how did he go about doing it? And if the allegation is true that he and some others were getting dressed up.
Okay, that was not, and I've watched almost all of it, but probably the last 20 minutes, that was not part of the documentary. It was that they did cross a line, the NCAA was investigating. But right up until that point, you guys, all he did was thousands of hours of mathematical and like algorithm work to put all of this stuff in a database for every team. He did it for scouting. I mean, the guy's just brilliant.
Just because you're smart enough to put together an Ocean's 11 level heist doesn't mean that you're doing good for the people. You're still stealing from the casino.
Everyone is picking up now the Chiefsaholic story. It just exploded on Twitter the last, I don't know, 10 minutes.
Speaking of theft.
Yes, in fact, Chiefsaholic is scheduled to be sentenced right before kickoff on Thursday.
Okay. Pennsylvania boys just won a national competition with a hairstyle that's business in the front and potty in the back.
Yeah,
Camden
is.
Cunningham from Swoyersville, which is in Luzerne County, Pennsylvania, won the Mullet Champs Kids Contest at the 2024 Mullet Championship.
Okay.
It doesn't say how old he is. I saw a picture of him. He looks like he's, I don't know, 11 or 12. TV station WGAL spoke with him and found out how the mullet, which he calls the Commander, with a K, came to be, as well as what he plans to do with his prize money. Okay. Good for him. Oh, guess who founded the Mullet Championship raises funds for the Jared Allen Homes for Wounded Warriors. Remember
that's
him?
Amazing.
From the Chiefs, and then he went up to
remember him, yes.
Which provides critically injured combat veterans with accessible and mortgage-free homes. Good for them. Good for them. All right. So, Camden Cunningham, who sports the Commander mullet, is the winner this year for the kids' competition.
Look at whatever happened. I'm looking right now. Where is Jared Allen? He was
retired.
So cute. Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
He He was also really good at football.
Yes, he was. He was also into, I know he was into hunting when he was here. Maybe he's doing something there.
Okay. Is it true the tattoo they said he had, which we cannot describe on the air, but I'll cut my mic and tell you.
Okay. No, we cannot. We cannot.
It was a deer. That's all I'm going to say. There was a rumor that he had that tattoo.
Down there.
Yes.
How did we hear about this rumor, Dan?
I think it was just folklore in Chief's Kingdom among the women.
You didn't do any field research while he was in town?
No, I certainly did not.
Okay.
God. Right. Yeah, you're right. I just saw 100% of the donations go to his home. I'm so happy. That makes me happy. I was going to make fun of them all at championships, and now I'm not. That's a great way to do it with a great spokesperson for it.
Fines for unauthorized Airbnbs and VRBOs mounting across Kansas City. It's a story in the Kansas City Star. We'll get to that in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. Jared Allen is now a competitive curler.
He also appeared on an episode of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives a couple of years back, apparently.
Awesome. Did you hear who's going to be on Dancing with the Stars?
No.
I'm pretty sure it's a pommel horse guy.
Oh, yes, I did see that.
Yeah, he'll be there.
Yeah.
It's been years since I've watched that program. If pommel horse guy's doing it, I'm in.
It can be pretty good near the end of the season.
I'm in.
Story here from the Kansas City Star. 18 months back, Jason Palmer and his wife, they're from Green Valley, leased three separate apartments in downtown Kansas City with dramatic views high across the skyline with a simple idea in mind. Short-term rentals via Airbnb. Make some extra money, Palmer said, of his modern units at Sky on Main, 920 Main Street. Except on Wednesday, those properties ended up costing him money, $200, leveled as a fine in Kansas City Municipal Court, where Palmer, appearing remotely by video, pleaded guilty before the judge for advertising and failing to properly register the properties, as Kansas City ordinances enacted last year now require.
Aha!
Palmer's excuse. I sort of forgot. He told the Star, we were very confused in the laws and the regulations. We thought we had everything done by the book. Minutes later, Brenda Esslinger, also of Green Valley, got hit with the same fine, $200, for failing to register her Airbnb in the same building.
How are they finding out? Are there like Airbnb spies?
Well, the website is supposed to crack down if they are not certified with the city. The Airbnb hosting website is supposed to pull their ad.
Nyam Vidal of Kansas City was up next, the third case that morning.
Okay.
Third guilty plea, third $200 fine.
Why would the Airbnb website agree to help the cities out?
Because they won't allow you to put properties in their city on the website unless you agree to play the game.
Okay.
Also, are you kidding me? A $200 fine? These people probably made thousands of dollars. Also, didn't you say they rented the apartments that they're now subletting?
Correct.
That's illegal.
Wow. Who's the Airbnb
Sounds
police
like the
now?
Dog I mean, catcher over there.
So many violations in the first five sentences of that story.
I do believe that it's confusing because I remember when the rules first came out that, hey, we're going to start cracking down and charging for this. I remember thinking, okay, A, how's that going to work? B, how are they going to bust you? C, are people going to pay it? But if it's tied to the website,
it's not really confusing. You just have to fill out the piece of paper that says, hey, this is going to be a short-term rental. The same way you had to fill out the piece of paper
I'm telling you right now, I have never stayed at an Airbnb or a VRBO or whatever the hell they're called. And if somebody turned my, like, the house next to me on either side into an Airbnb, I would be furious. Furious.
Okay, but usually it's much more hypocritical than that, because if it's next door to you, you would be furious.
Well, yeah.
If you want to rent one, it's convenient as hell and you love it.
But I've never rented one.
You'll never go back. You've seen the ad, and it's a brilliant ad. Why would you and I and Sam and three friends all stay in eight different hotel rooms? And the ad shows how closed off you are under that scenario. when you can all stay together in one big property?
No, I understand that if you're the one renting it, it can be very convenient. It could probably be cost effective. But you know as well as I do, you wouldn't want the house next to you.
It's NIMBY. Not in my neighborhood.
That's right.
Unless I'm looking for one. Then how much are you charging?
Or unless you're looking to buy a property that you're going to turn into one.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I would never do it because I wouldn't want to manage it.
I mean, there are a lot of success stories about people who make tens of thousands of dollars a month on their few Airbnb properties.
I know it.
But no way. You have to register it. You have to pay the taxes.
Well, how does the insurance work? What if someone slips and falls in the shower and whacks their head in your Airbnb?
I believe that is all covered when you sign up with Airbnb.
All right. Some sort of umbrella policy?
Yeah.
That would be my luck. That would be my luck. Someone would choke to death on a hot dog in my kitchen, and then I'd be sued for $1 million.
Because I guarantee you, if I ever called USAA and said, hey, you know,
right,
turning my house into an Airbnb, click.
Or I'm an Uber. Oh, okay.
I don't think Airbnb would allow you to use their platform to promote your short-term rental without having the checks and balances taken care of, which is why they're willing to step in and say, if you're not permitting this with the city and your city requires a permit for it, we're going to crack down on you.
The story in the Star says the city of Kansas City estimated that there are 2,000 short-term rentals in the city, which is roughly 10% of Kansas City's hotel space.
And I'm not the first guy to say rah-rah to additional taxes and additional permits and all this good stuff. However, why are we only fining them $200? They make more than $200 per rental.
You don't know that.
$200 is the registration fee to register with the city. That's why. Go ahead, sorry.
You don't know that, and here's why, Sam. My favorite place that I stay in every single time I am down to see my parents, I stay in the exact same house every time. I like it. I know it. I understand it. I know how the remote works. I go to the same place. And it is like $115 a night or something. You really couldn't find a hotel cheaper, and this is my whole, and it's a big house.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Two nights, and you made the money back from your fee. I would just keep...
But that's assuming it's rented all the time. And I think in Kansas City, like, it could be rented.
Is this the one down in Mississippi?
Yeah. I love that property.
But it's right next to railroad tracks.
I don't care. I hear that train a-coming. It makes me happy. Rolling around the bend. I ain't seen sunshine since I don't know when.
Oh, boy.
I know, right? I didn't take my medicine for like 3 days because I was on vacation.
Really?
I know.
We had no idea. 913-586-7798. The city is cracking down. By the way, of the estimated 2,000 short-term rentals in Kansas City, Missouri, the city says as of last month, only 600 or 30% had registered. So there's 100 or 1,400 still out there that are not registered. But it can't be about the money.
Because it's always about the money. But, you know that.
But if it's $200 registration fee, and let me just do the math, and I can't do it in my head on the fly. If there are 2,000 in the city, at 200, I'm assuming that's a year, and that could be about the money. That's $400,000. I take that back. That's a pretty decent chunk of change. 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. And the thing is, you know, if you bought a unit on the Sky on Main, the luxury apartments.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I guarantee you that is not.
It's crazy expensive.
An inexpensive place to live.
Correct.
It can't be.
If I were the building owner at the Sky on Main, I'd be having a conversation with the gentleman who just paid $200 for subletting the apartments that he leased from me that he wasn't allowed to sublet.
That, right? You're not supposed to do that.
Well, not without getting permission from the landlord.
Yeah.
You have to get permission because they don't know who's coming in.
Correct. Or if I'm the next door neighbor, I don't know who's coming
in. That's exactly right. Mm. That's exactly right. 913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Yeah, we were just looking at pictures of Sky on Main apartments in downtown Kansas City. Pretty swank.
Yeah, we had a caller call in who, now we cannot confirm this in any way, shape, or form, but they claim to be well-versed in that building and how it operates, and they let me know that the owners, who have just recently caught wind of this because the people leasing the properties or paying fines for it, are not very happy about it, and they are upgrading the security system to the point that it is now going to require biometrics to get in.
Good for them.
Well,
good luck subletting now.
You're right. If you actually owned your little slice of heaven in there, or you're paying thousands of dollars a month, you would be ticked off that somebody was renting it next door. You would be.
Well, because, you know, let's be honest, especially if you're renting like on Sky on Main, you're probably younger, hipper. You're in Kansas City either on business or as some sort of a vacation. And what are you going to go do at night? Well, I'm just trying to live my life
yep.
next door.
You can get your body on.
That's right. And I, you know, I'm getting in bed at 10:30 at night because I got to go to work tomorrow
and
morning.
And you're sure you can't buy those? You can't buy those units, Sam?
I'm not sure, but according to the story, he was leasing the three units.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. If someone is leasing three units from you right out of the gate, what do you have, triplets?
It's a bit of a red flag.
That's a good point.
Come on.
Hang on. Let me read this.
Give me a break. They knew. You would have to know. That's odd.
Well,
Scott
no.
Parks just signed up for three apartments.
No, you're right.
Does he have sister wives?
Wait a minute. It says here, Jason Palmer and his wife, they're from Grain Valley, leased three separate apartments in downtown Kansas City with dramatic views high across the skyline. Now, when I first read that, I thought, well, he bought or rented one, leased one at Sky on Main and one over here at, you know,
Two Light.
Yeah. Three Light or whatever. I don't know. But it says here, short-term rentals via Airbnb make some extra money, Palmer said, of his modern units at Sky on Main. So I read that he has three separate leases at Sky on Main.
Yeah, they probably should have thought about that one before they went ahead and let him sign on that dotted line.
Now, he could argue, yes, one's for my wife and me. The other two are for our two children.
I like to get away, you know? Can't be in the same space.
I don't know.
She takes up a lot of room.
Have you met her?
913-58. By the way, we were looking at the interior of these apartments.
Oh, they're stunning.
They are gorgeous. 913-586-7798. 586-7798. Ike in Liberty. Hello, Ike.
Hey, Steve. You were talking a little bit ago about it just can't be about the money with the government chasing that down.
It can't just be about the money?
Yeah, you said it's $200 for the fee. I did a little digging this last couple of years here during COVID, and I discovered something rather unusual occurring around the entire country. There's foreign LLC money that's just been pouring in. For 2024, they're estimating $780 billion, with a B, will be spent buying up homes and residences to turn them into rentals with foreign LLC money. And you can see, you don't have to look any further than some of the more larger firms. What is it? KRE, that's Jared Kushner.
Steve, did you just bring politics into this conversation? We're not talking about politics.
Well, it goes across party lines because you got KKR. One of the houses up the street from me was bought by Vincent Joseph Gaddy. That's part of the Gaddy crime family. They're second cousins. It's all foreign LLC.
I hope you used an alias when you called in.
I'm not the slightest bit worried. I'm old enough that, hey, bring them on. Anyway, it's just everywhere right now. The foreign LLCs are pressing government to squeeze out short-term rentals. If they can push them and squeeze them out, that's just a little bit more available housing they can buy. And then additionally, to really stick it to all of us Americans, they pay 10 to 15% over what the bank will loan. So I've got two houses in my neighborhood recently sold for 15% more than the banks would loan. So nobody could buy it unless they had a whole lot of extra cash. Foreign LLCs bought them, and they are renting them out right now. I got some nice renters in there, fortunately. But it drove the value up on the houses. So now my tax basis on my house just went up because I now have four houses within a block of me that have been turned into rentals in the last 3 years. Hmm. None of them are owned by actual Americans. They're all cash funded by foreign LLCs. So they're driving up the property values so that the next generation isn't going to be able to afford to buy houses. And to squeeze every bit of competition out, they're going after things like Airbnb, which, I mean, let's face it, not many people. There's some maybe getting rich on Airbnb, but not many.
Hey, Steve, we got you and do appreciate the call, man.
All right.
Okay. Dang it. Dang it.
Did he call you Steve?
Yes. And I was waiting for him to go, my name's not Steve, and my comeback was going to be, neither is mine.
He did not care that you were calling him Steve.
I was waiting for the, I mean, I put that bait in the water and he just didn't bite.
You guys both were doing it.
All right, 913-586-7798, 586-7798. But Steve, let me tell you something right now. If you think that that is new, where people are coming in, you kept saying foreign LLCs. I don't know what that is, but if you think that this is the first time people from outside of Kansas City have come in bulk and bought up homes, you would be horribly mistaken. I remember, and I know you do too, Dana, during the MLB All-Star game, when Mayor Sly James at the time was starting to bulldoze down homes that were dilapidated, abandoned, along I-70 as it leads out to the Truman Sports Complex, there were stories in the Star that found that a lot of these homes were owned by some guy in Ohio.
Yep. In some fact, small isn't little town. Ohio the highest? If you look at all of the properties in Kansas City, I think the Kansas City Star looked at this. For some reason, the highest ownership percentage outside of KC is Ohio.
Correct.
8,000 homes owned by five different companies, none of which are from Kansas City.
8,000 homes owned
in Kansas City, owned by five different companies.
That's more. That's 1,500, roughly 1,500 homes on average.
Yeah.
Per company. How do you manage that?
You hire people?
I guess. All right. Somebody on the text line says, the last four properties that I sold were bought by foreign LLCs.
Well, and you can't fault the seller because the seller's looking at, okay, you're going to offer me 20% more.
Yeah, I don't care where you come from. Now,
is it possible that a foreign LLC would be interested? I'm just throwing this out. I don't know.
No, they would not, Dana. In
a lovely five-bedroom, four-bathroom.
Here we go again.
Full-finished basement.
Every day.
You know, then you don't have to worry about the interest rates if you're paying cash. I mean, I am happy to jack that price up 20%.
I'm sure you would be. I'm sure you would.
I don't even care if they're buying it from the foreign desk. Where do you live that's foreign? I don't care.
Now, it is not illegal for somebody who is not an American. This is my understanding.
You can't be like next to a military installation or base.
Correct. And I do believe that it...
You could be in Leawood.
You could.
Totally.
It's not close enough to a military base.
No.
That would be correct.
Yeah. No.
But I do think that there are some countries that are not included in that. I do not believe you can be from China.
But you could be from Europe. You can be from England or something.
North Korea, a handful of countries that are on this list of you're not allowed to buy any American property. I think if I remember reading that story correctly.
But that's as a nationalist from that country. What's to stop them from starting a business? An LLC is treated as an entity, as a person.
Right.
What's to stop them from starting an LLC and then buying
homes
as a U.S.
citizen? Can you start an LLC in the United States if you are not a citizen?
Can you start an LLC?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, foreign companies probably do. Yeah. I mean, it's just a way for you to protect yourself personally. It doesn't protect the company necessarily. Although I think there might be limits on how much you can lose.
The L stands for limited
liability. Yeah. But, you know, when I made the awful decision to buy rental property years and years ago, 20 years ago, Brenninger and I formed an LLC to protect us personally.
Yeah.
So if something was wrong with the house, you could go after our LLC, but you couldn't come
after. Nothing wrong with your house at all.
And it's just
it's
perfect.
Just perfect.
Sitting
South
on the market.
Ready to be bought up.
Not a single thing. Then if you're a foreign entity, I'm just come on in.
You just start to wonder, then
you can rent it.
Where is everybody?
You can live in it. I don't care what you do with it.
913-586-7798. Story here from CNN. If a strange photo has recently stopped you in your tracks while scrolling your Facebook feed, you are not alone. Users who once came to Facebook to connect with friends and family are increasingly complaining of random, spammy, junk content. Yes, it's borderline unbearable. Much of it apparently generated by artificial intelligence showing up in their feeds. Sometimes it is obviously fake, AI-generated images, like the now infamous Shrimp Jesus. I don't even know what that is. Other times, it's old posts from real creators that look like they're being reshared by bot accounts for engagement. But the spam is more than just an annoyance. It can also be weaponized.
What?
Some spam pages appear designed to scam other users, and in extreme cases, spam pages that gain a following can eventually be used, for example, by foreign actors seeking to sow discord ahead of November.
Okay, forget about that. Talk about the one thing everyone is talking about online, and that's whether or not the damn gray building is in front of the brown building, or is the brown building in front of the gray building.
So I saw that picture on Facebook earlier, and it says, you know, it's the new blue dress or whatever it was, and they said, which building is in front of which?
Yeah.
And it's impossible to tell.
No, it's not. It's the gray building. The gray building is in front.
Is that the one on the left?
Yes. Have you seen this, Sam?
See, because I thought when when I first saw the picture, I didn't understand it because my eye immediately gravitated to the building on the right as being closer. And then, you know, when you read the you know, which building is closer, I'm like, now wait a minute. And I looked at the building on the left, and it's almost like your mind's playing a trick on you.
The building on the left is in front.
I told you, the gray one.
Because the trimming on each of the levels, so the windows have that gray trim that sticks out, cuts off the windows on the right.
If you haven't seen
you're
it,
wrong.
First of all, you're living under a rock. You're the only one. It's everywhere. It's the new, what color is this dress? Is it blue or gold or whatever that thing was?
Black and blue or gold and white.
Story here from ABC News. Passengers, this is the craziest thing I've ever heard. Passengers planning to travel the world on a three-year cruise are speaking out as they remain stuck on land waiting for their ship to depart.
They were planning to.
Holly Hennessy says she's been stuck in Belfast for 3 months as she and her fellow passengers wait for the cruise ship, the Villa V Odyssey, to be repaired. Says Hennessy on Good Morning America today, it's cold, it's windy, it's damp, it rains.
God. How mad would you be?
I've been moved 5 times, she said. Well, I wouldn't. I mean, listen, I love to travel like the next person. Being over in Europe would be awesome.
Scott, you have a job. Like, I don't know if she's retired or works or whatever, but like, there are going to be people on that ship who have jobs.
No, they're not, because it's a 3-year cruise. It is a 3-year cruise.
No. 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 No.
There's nobody on that ship that has a job.
Eh.
Well, there is one couple.
If you work remote.
They're travel writers.
Oh.
But for the last 3 months, they've been writing the same
article. Is the name of the book Kill Me Now?
It's actually entitled Getting Ready to Jump Overboard, Can't Take It Anymore. The story of making the dumb decision to go on a 3-year cruise.
Why would it? Well, okay.
That's a very lengthy title. Let
me back up before I say, why would anyone do a 3-year cruise? There are some people in retirement who have done the math, and it is cheaper to just be on a floating hotel than it is to travel and or, you know, buy into some fancy condo somewhere in Florida.
Well, those people, they hop from 3 to 7 day cruise to 3 to 7 day cruise. So they're not doing like the big, long, month-long cruises. They're doing the one-week cruises and just hopping from boat to boat to boat to boat to boat.
Doesn't that seem like a lot of...
It costs less for 1 week on a cruise ship than it does for 1 week in the senior living facility. And I'd much rather be on a cruise ship.
Okay.
Headed to the buffet.
I mean, think about it. Wouldn't you just get fat?
Can we go to the casino? I don't know if we'll have time.
You would be broke and fat. That's what you would be at the end of that tour.
If you didn't go to the gym on board.
They've got one.
I do remember when we cruised to Alaska, they had this enormous track that went all the way outside the ship, and it was outside.
Yeah.
It was covered, but it was outside. And if you walked forward the direction the boat was going, you felt like you were going super fast. If you walked the opposite direction,
yeah, that'd be cool.
It made me nauseous to walk the opposite direction. But walking forward, you felt like you were like Usain Bolt or something.
This is very common. There is a reason there are morgues on cruise ships.
Yeah, because the only people who go on them are old.
If you have a heart attack, they're not docking for that. They just put you, I think they put you on ice.
I hope they do, because otherwise you're going to stink.
I think it's actually a refrigerator, but yeah.
Why are we whispering?
I'm not really sure.
You started it.
Can they hear us?
Missouri's favorite dog breed. Care to guess, anyone?
Golden Doodle.
No.
Australian Shepherd.
Number two.
Ooh.
No, sorry. Whoa. Yeah, number one.
Hey.
In the state of Missouri.
How did you guess that?
It's my favorite. I just guessed my favorite.
German Shepherd is number two. And then it's Labrador Retriever, Bernese Mountain Dog, and the Bulldog. America's favorite dog breed, the Australian Shepherd, is the number one breed in America.
They are insanely smart.
Are those the ones with the steel blue eyes?
That would be a...
I think they can.
It just left my mind.
They look like...
Blue Heeler.
They kind of look like Lassie dogs.
Okay.
The German Shepherd is the second most popular dog breed in the United States. Bulldog is three. Labrador Retriever, and then Bernese Mountain Dog. 7.2% of all dogs, and I think this would be purebred. Obviously, you know, mutt didn't make the list.
Right.
But 7.2% of all dogs in the United States are an Australian Shepherd.
There's a big issue with them being bred illegally out in the state of Missouri.
Oh, God.
Well, why did you do that?
Always peeing on my leg when we're talking about something lovely. But I
peeing
was,
on your leg about dogs?
To Sam's point,
really,
Missouri always comes in 50th out of 50 when it comes to the puppy mills. We are the worst.
News with Dan Weinbaum in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.